This is our second week talking about the fiery furnace, okay? So last week we talked about the king of Babylon. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he made a gold image of himself that was 90 feet high. I couldn't even work out how high that was. This is a pretty high ceiling, but it's a few times the height of this even. So it was an enormous statue of himself. So guess who his priority was? Me, me, and me again. And everyone had to bow down and worship this statue or be thrown into this enormous fiery furnace. But three Jewish men, refused to bow down because they knew their God was willing and able to rescue them. We said last week, if we're bowing down to something, then we're worshiping it. We're making it bigger than God. We're making it higher than God, and that's not right. I brought this revelation last week that if we give God first place in our lives, all of our problems will be second place. That's a fantastic little revelation. So last week, it was facing the fire, and this week, it's walking through the fire. So sometimes we get to go around things. Sometimes we get to go over them. Sometimes we get to skip them, you know. But most of the time, we need to walk through them. And life is full of circumstances that we have to walk through. A tough job situation, a relationship that's difficult, financial insecurity, etc., etc. So what have you had to walk through? And are you still walking through something right now? Because most of us are. You know, is it a raging fire at times and you're afraid it might consume you? Well, I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid, because God rescued these three men from the fire and he can rescue you as well. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the name of these three men. And they had to literally walk through a fire. It wasn't just a bad day at work. It was a fiery furnace. And there was no way out. They were tied and thrown in, clothes and all. They didn't even get a chance to change into a fireproof, flameproof outfit, you know. The flames were so fierce that the men who threw them in got burned up. So this little bit of the story is in Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the fire exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It was not their best day. Avon had not called, okay? So they were having a bit of a rough day. That is a lot to walk through. And it looked like there was no way out. No one thought they'd survive it. In fact, it looked totally hopeless. So how's your week been? Can you see a way out? Did you think you'd survive it? Or did work think they'd survive you, Linda? You know, did they think you'd survive it? Or is it hopeless too? But at no point did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lose their hope. Not at any point, no matter how bad it got. Even though it looked like the enemy was going to totally destroy them, they kept their eyes on their God, and the enemy couldn't harm them. You know, sometimes there's not even a glimmer of hope on the horizon. I spoke to someone this morning and she said, I've got a glimmer of hope, which is wonderful. But sometimes there's not even a glimmer of hope there on the horizon. But keep looking for it, because it is going to appear at some point. And the situation is not meant to destroy you. So they kept their eyes on God and the enemy couldn't harm them. I want us to note that the men throwing them in the fire were destroyed first, before Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego even got caught in the flames. These wicked men got caught in their own trap, the trap the enemy had set for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, consumed their enemy. And so here's a prophetic word for someone today. Those attacking you will be caught in their own trap. They will reap what they have sown. Whatever it is they've used against you, they're the ones that are going to reap it, not you. If what you're walking through is trying to totally destroy you, just keep your eyes on God and the enemy won't be able to harm you either. Folks, no matter how fierce the attack is, it's still not bigger than God. Even this 90-foot statue was not bigger than God. Even if they were able to build a statue all the way from here to the moon, it would not be bigger than God. Because he's way beyond the moon. He's way beyond all the planets. He's way beyond the constellations. It would never be bigger than him. So here's another prophetic word that is for someone today. You're in a battle. You're in the thick of the attack. But no one thing. God is still with you. He's still there. Let's pick up the story in Daniel 3 at verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." So here's King Nebuchadnezzar. He's given his orders. Tie these three men up, throw them in, clothes and all, and we'll just watch them fry. You know, he's given his orders. And all of a sudden, he jumps to his feet. I'm sure he jumped out his boots, if he was wearing boots. And he jumped up and he went, what's happening here? Didn't we tie these men up? So these three men had trusted God, and something amazing happened in the middle of their bad day, in the middle of their bad season, in the middle of the valley of death that they were walking through. A miracle took place right in front of their eyes, and the king was gobsmacked because he sees the presence of God right there in front of him. They threw the men in the fire, but now there's four men walking about because God was there. God was in the middle of the attack. You know, people could have a different life if they just realized that God was there, if they took the time to realize that God's with them. Even Christians struggle to recognize God, and yet he's with us every minute of every day, of every year, in every season that we have to walk through. He's with us with every breath we take. You know, do you realize that your heartbeat is actually saying, "I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you"? That's what our heartbeat is saying. So even if you've not got any hope on the horizon, stand in the middle of your trouble, put your hand on your heart and feel the beat of heaven, because God created you. He created the life breath in you, and he created your heartbeat that is saying, "I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you." God created that. And we need to get a hold of it with both hands. I've been with more than one person as they've breathed their last breath. I've been at the bedside with some members of my family when they've taken that last breath and gone into eternity. And there was such a sense of awe there with one of them. Oh, with all of them, really. Such a sense of awe. And there was four of us, four family members around the bed of my dying auntie. And we're just there, and we'd been there 24 hours. And we're watching every single breath. And then you can't help it. You're counting in between the breaths. You know, to begin with, it's just a few seconds. And then it's 10 seconds. And then it's 15 seconds. And it just goes on, and every single breath is there. And then when it actually happens, and there was not a single breath after that one, we all stood up. You could hear four chairs scraping against the hospital floor in the intensive care unit. And the four chairs just scraped back, and we all just stood, because the moment was so incredible and so filled with awe. And I really believe the moment we stood was because it was filled with God. Because God was there. Because this woman had been in the valley of the shadow of death, and she just walked through into an eternity with her God. And we stood because the presence of God was in that place. He was with them in the valley, even the valley of death. These men in this fire were not alone in their trial. God was with them, and people saw it. People saw it Folks, God is with you in your trial, and other people see it. Others see the peace on your life. Others see the presence of God on your life. Others see prayer answered. They go, how did you get that man managed to fall into place, you know? I remember a friend of mine, and she's a Christian now, but years ago she wasn't a Christian. And when she became a Christian, she said to me, Sandra, I just knew you had something that I didn't. You had something on your life, and I didn't have it. I couldn't see it, but she could see it. Folks, God, people see God in you. So perhaps it's time you started to see it too. Perhaps it's time you started to believe that no matter how hot the situation's got, no matter how fiery it's got, you are standing there with God. He's going to open every door. He's going to provide for your every need, whatever it is. No matter what you're walking through right now, God is with you. He says, there's a little story that you probably all know about Elijah. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm just going to look at verse 11. Elijah's running away from a horrendous situation. He's frightened, he's scared, he's alone, and he hides in a cave. And he asks God if he can see his face. And God says, well, actually, with human eyes, Elijah, you can't, because I'm so blazing with glory, like looking at the sun and you'd fry. But you can see my back. I'll let you see me as I pass by. So Elijah stands there in the cave, and he's just waiting on being able to see God. And it says this, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Elijah found it hard to hear God when things were really, really loud. When the attack was going on and there was an earth, wind and fire and it was all explosions. He couldn't hear God and all of that. So he stood still. And only once he stood still did he see God pass by. And only once he was quiet did he hear God's voice in that still, small whisper. So often, we don't stop long enough to see God or to hear him. So when God showed up for Elijah, he used a still, small voice. That's a whisper. I said the other week, we were talking about it, and I just said, God's always whispering, but we are not always listening. We're too busy. We're too busy looking at the situation going, I'm worried, I'm worried, I'm worried, I'm worried, I'm worried. And God's going, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. With every heartbeat, we need to be listening. He is always whispering. So if you're facing a fire, if you're facing a trial, or if you're walking in a valley, I suggest you stop and listen for his whisper, because he will guide you through. In our original scripture in Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, said, didn't we cast 3 men into the fire and weren't they tied up? You just imagine the conversation. I'm sure they were tied up. I tied one up. Jackie, did you not tie one up? And Helen, you tied one up. I'm sure we tied those men up. And we tied them really tight and they had all their clothes and robes on and then we threw them in. So this was a conversation they were having. This is a conversation maybe the king was having. Excuse me, who were the men that tied them up? Oh yeah, they got burnt, they're dead. But I'm sure we still tied them up. So we're talking about this. And then, but the king says, but I see 4 men and they're loose and they're walking about and I'm sorry, but that is impossible. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would have been saying, well, I'm sorry, we serve the gods of the impossible. And the God of the impossible was right there in this situation. And he turned it around. And if he turned it around for them, he can turn it around for us too. So don't give up in the middle of your fire. Don't give up when you're under attack. Don't give up while you're still walking through the trial. Keep going. Here's a brilliant quote. If you don't go home with anything else today, go home with this quote. I know it's not from the Bible, but you know, it's what God is saying in this story. It's by a man you might have heard of, Winston Churchill. And he says this, if you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. Don't set up camp there. Keep going. Sometimes the only way out of hell is to walk through it. We need to go through to get to the other end. We need to stick at that job till our pension is full or whatever it is we're facing. The men the enemy had tied these men up and they were in bondage. They were bound up by the attack. But God came along and he loosed them. He set them free. And he can set us free too. Don't let the enemy put you in bondage with his lies, because all he knows to do is lie. He comes along and says, you're useless, you're worthless, you're forgotten, you're no use to anybody, and it's all lies. That's all he says. Anything negative in your head, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, folks, it's not from God. So why are we listening to it? You know, God won't provide. God won't meet your needs. Why are we listening to rubbish like that when the Bible says he'll meet every need? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll meet every need we have. Here is a quote that I read in my daily reading. People are bound by the past, chained to it like an elephant. They don't know they have the strength to break free of the chains. So you know that thing about the elephant. They get the elephant when it's a young calf and they put a chain on it and tie it to a stake. And the elephant can only walk so far because it's too small. It can't break the chain. So it eats the vegetation, whatever's round about it. It has a little wander, but it can't go very far. Then all of a sudden, the elephant's fully grown. Now, I don't know what a fully grown elephant weighs. It must be several ton. Don't know if it's 10 ton or 20 ton, but elephants are big. So it's this massive, massive big elephant. It weighs tons. And it could break the chain with one tug of its leg. But it's been taught, you can't break that chain. You can't break that chain. You'll always have that chain. You're not going anywhere. You can't break that chain because you're insignificant and God doesn't love you and people don't want you anyway. Anybody else had that chain on their life? Yeah, most people in the room. Folks, I just say today, you can break that chain. You know, when the enemy comes and says, no one wants you and you're not worth having anyway, break the chain. Break the chain. Get some spiritual weight on you. Let's weigh 20 ton in the spirit realm and just walk away from that chain and it will melt like butter. We need to do that. Don't let the enemy chain you to anything, not the past, not the present, or fear of the future. Stop listening to lies. Listen to the truth instead. It's only God's truth that breaks the chains of them and off our life and sets us free. John 4 and verse 32 says this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to be free, you have to listen. Wait for it. You have to listen to this. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not the lies, not the garbage, just the truth. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered their trial, they were bound by fear and the lies of the enemy that he was going to kill them. And now they were loosed. They were set free. Verse 25 says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. They're not even hurt. God set them free from everything that had tried to tie them up in knots. All of those things. You're not good enough. You're not young enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not wanted. It was all broken off in an instant. If we are in Christ, nothing should be binding us because he died to set us free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He sets us free, then we gather all the bondage again. And he sets us free and we gather all the chains again. And we carry them around with us, believing them. I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not rich enough, whatever it is. Don't let the enemy tie you up again. Don't be bound by people or circumstances. So here's my revelation from that. Whatever was binding them when they went into the fire wasn't binding them when they came out. Because God broke it off. He set them free. God took away, took the very thing that the enemy intended to harm them. God didn't send it. The enemy intended to harm them. And God turned it around for good. He turned it around and made them stronger and he broke off the things that were binding them. If God set them free, he can set you free. He can burn off whatever's attacking you. It also said in that verse, the men weren't even hurt. They were not even hurt. So can I just say to you today, you can trust God. He will not hurt you in this process. You might have a memory come back. And the memory might bring some tears, but if you give it to God, he will break that chain off, and he will not hurt you in the process. He will heal you in the process. And you never need to go back to that memory again. I know there's some memories in my life, and when they used to bother me before, or they come up, I give it to God and I say, God, that memory might be there, but break all the pain off. I don't want to remember the pain of that memory, in Jesus' name. Here's another quote. Your faith will be tested, but stand firm. These men refused to be persuaded by others. They didn't bend to their opinion. They stood firm, and they didn't bow down to fear. They had peace to walk through the trial. They had peace to walk through. Why? Because God stood with them. They saw God. We need to see God with us. And it said, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It says that in verse 25. The form of the fourth person in the fire is like the Son of God. Jesus himself was with them. Now, this is an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament before he was even born in the New Testament. It's called a Christophany. A Christophany is when people visibly see Jesus in a human form before he even was birthed. It's called a Christophany, and it happened several times in the Old Testament. Another example might be Jacob. Jacob, it says, wrestled with a man all night. And experts believe it was the Lord he was wrestling with. It was Jesus Christ himself appeared in human form. That is a Christophany. Philippians 2:7 says this of Jesus. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man. So there were special times in the Old Testament when Jesus did appear before certain people for special reasons. So God himself stood in the fire. He was there to protect them and set them free. I don't know what you're walking through right now, but I know God is there to protect you and set you free. In any trial, stop. Listen for God's whisper. Look for evidence that he's with you. Don't give up. Keep walking, and then the chains will fall off and you will be free too. Thank you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me.